Welcome back to another episode of Pricks on Flicks with Chris and Vince. I am Chris.
I'm Vince, and with us as always in the studio, well, not as always, sometimes he's
gone. As usual.
With you as most of the time.
Sretton, hey, our producer, our wonderful producer, who brought us...
Hold on, let him say hello again. You cut him off.
Hello again.
he brought us Mimosa, which is a milkshake-style IPA with orange juice from... Windmill Brewing. We've been trying to get this for a little bit since they released it, and he finally
got it. I did not know it was a hot commodity.
It is.
They have a ton of it. They had a ton of it when I was there, and the lady said it will probably be gone in a day or two.
I don't know that it's as good as other stuff that I've had there, but I really enjoy it. It's really good. It tastes like orange juice with
What was the Requiem for a Meme?
Mango.
I know we had that was a mango one. Yeah,
mango.
I remember liking
it. It was a mango
one.
IPA, mango milkshake IPA.
And this one, did you mention, was orange juice?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, which it tastes like a mimosa.
There were two mango ones from Windmill Brewing. One was Requiem for Meme. I forget what the other one was called, but one was a double mango, and the other one was a triple mango. So I guess you got more mango for your buck with one of them. I just don't remember which one was which.
I kind of think we had the triple.
I
could be 100% wrong.
We for sure had Requiem for a Meme, which was the bomber. Yeah. I just don't know if that's the double or the double.
I thought
or
it was the triple, but I'm not sure.
Might be the triple.
Because we had a discussion about it. Is it triple the mango or triple the hops? We didn't know.
Maybe it's triple the milkshake. I don't know. Anyway, what do you think of this? I think it's, like I said, I think it's good.
It's very good. The pink cowbell is what, off square?
Yeah.
Which, that's probably my favorite milkshake IPA, but this is really good too.
Yeah.
I like them both. I think I like the sweetness of the pink cowbell a little
more. The cherry Springer, which is another off square milkshake IPA, is also delicious.
I love that one. I haven't tried it yet.
Not as good as, I guess, like you said, the
pink cowbell.
Pink cowbell is, the best one.
It's my favorite.
Had. It's my favorite too that we've had. Might be some other one in the future that comes out that makes all of them just garbage.
But yeah, Mimosa is close to as a home run as you can get. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I like it.
Do you love it?
Maybe inside the park home run?
I like it a lot.
Okay.
All right, that'll be the last time that happens.
It'll be the last time what happens?
The I like it a lot thing.
No, we've been saying that off mic
for
10 minutes.
I know, that's why I'm tired of hearing it. All right, I like it a lot.
All right, we got a great show for you today.
Maybe.
No, it's hopefully.
Hopefully.
God damn it. See, I throw you a curveball, throw the line to you, and you swing and miss.
That was me swinging the bat.
All right, today we are going to talk about Netflix original Extinction.
Starring Michael Pena and...
some other people?
Luke Cage. Luke Cage was in it.
Lizzie Kaplan?
Lizzie Kaplan. That's who I was thinking of. And also Luke Cage. Whatever his name is.
Oh, I didn't realize that was Luke Cage.
Yeah. And then we're going to talk about the new Hulu show from J.J. Abrams and Stephen King called Castle Rock. Not to be confused with Fraggle Rock. Which would be way cooler.
Thanks for the disclaimer.
That'd be way cooler if Stephen King wrote a show called Fraggle Rock that was all super creepy and stuff.
All right.
And what's the blockbuster?
We'll mark that as one.
I would watch that.
What? Yeah, Fraggle Rock? Yeah, I wasn't even being a dad joke. I'm just saying, like, that'd be way cool if we had
still mark it.
Yeah. Dad jokes can be good.
Okay.
I mean, that was one, but it was funny. I laughed.
All right. Fraggle Rock.
And we're going to round it out with Mission Impossible Fallout.
Yeah, we are. Starring Henry Cavill and Tom Cruise.
Rebecca. And some other people, Simon Pegg, Ving Rhames.
Rebecca Ferguson.
Michelle Monaghan.
See, that's a spoiler. Spoiler, dude!
She's in the opening scene of the freaking movie.
In a flashback.
She's still in the movie!
That's true.
It's not even a flashback, it's a dream.
Well, no, that scene actually happens. Not with that guy, though.
Yeah. No, well, there's stuff that happens in that scene that you know it's a dream.
Yeah, that's true. All right.
So now you just spoiled the spoiler. By saying that was a spoiler. If I hadn't said it was a spoiler, or if you hadn't said it was a spoiler, nobody would have known it was a spoiler.
You just confused the audience.
I know. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, she was in lots of pictures and all kinds of stuff. Yeah. So she's in the movie.
Bye, Joe.
Jesus.
I'll be back. What's up?
Musically interrupted part due.
Part dude.
Part due.
Part dude or part
due.
Or
Like Hot Shots.
Like Hot Shots Part 2.
Hey, man, you guys better get back to your fucking format, all right? All
right, all right, all right. All right. Extinction.
Extinction. Sorry, Michael Pena and all the people we just said. I did think this movie was terrible, but
First off, to interrupt you, IMDb rating 5.9. What do you get?
That was a little better than that.
Really? I'll give you mine.
6.4.
See, I give it a solid 5.0.
Thought it was that
very
bad.
Yeah, very middle of the road movie for me.
What was the apocalyptic movie you guys reviewed last week that it has a similar name that was about like, the end of the world, How It Ends?
Yeah.
See, I didn't watch Extinction because I got it confused with How It Ends. I didn't.
And you watched How It Ends?
I didn't watch either one because you guys hated How It Ends.
Yeah.
I thought Extinction was How It Ends. And believe it or not, I listen to you guys occasionally. So how was it?
How It Ends Extinction. Or Extinction?
Oh, I remember how It Ends was.
I didn't think it was terrible.
See, now I'm curious what I gave How It Ends. Do you remember?
I think you gave it better than that.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you did.
I mean, we'd have to go back and listen, but I don't know.
I don't know.
5.001.
I might have thought that How It Ends was better than this, now that I think about it.
I think the concept of this movie was really, 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 really good.
I agree, but I'm not totally judging it off the concept.
See, but the concept of How It Ends was terrible. It was stupid.
But I thought the acting in this movie was awful. Line delivery, awful. Dialogue, awful. Characters, awful. I just thought the idea was pretty cool.
I thought the main character, Michael Pena, was okay.
Mm-hmm. I didn't.
I didn't think it was awful. I don't know. I think awful is a really strong word. Like I said, this movie, well, let's talk about what it's about without spoiling, because there is a really cool plot.
Do you want me
to
just read the synopsis?
Yeah, and we'll see how.
A father has a recurring dream of losing his family. His nightmare turns into reality when the planet is invaded by a force bent on destruction. Fighting for their lives, he comes to realize an unknown strength to keep them safe from harm. So
that's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Sounds like a superhero origin story.
Alien invasion type thing.
It's an alien invasion. And I don't know. I didn't think it was that bad.
I thought the twist was awesome. I really did. But overall, I thought the execution was terrible.
The execution could have been a lot better, and the kids were absolutely horrendous. They were... Kids always bother me in movies because they never do what they're told to do in important situations, and I feel like...
I thought more than any movie I've ever seen with kids, I wanted to reach into the screen and punch these kids in the face.
I agree. Yeah.
More than any.
These kids were bad. Yeah, these kids were terrible. I don't mean they behaved badly. I mean just like the things they did were bad. They wouldn't shut up. They whined non-stop. Mommy, don't go. Mommy, don't go. So it's like, shut the fuck up. You're going to give us away and get us everybody. You're going to get everybody in this room killed. Shut up.
You two stay right here. And then they go in the other room, and one of the kids has to get up and run away every time.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. But like I said, I thought the concept was good. It was an alien invasion, and then there's a plot twist that I thought was really good, kind of poorly executed. But I've seen much worse, and I think How It Ends was significantly worse because there was no plot twists in there to even. I mean, there was nothing in there. There was nothing redeemable about that movie. This movie at least had one redeemable thing, and that was the twist, which, as we said, poorly executed. So
the acting in How It Ends by that guy that was in the Divergent movies,
Theo James,
him and the girl that played Ricky. Acting was awesome.
You're talking. Okay.
No, you made a comment.
I did.
Was it the last show
that
we talked about How It Ends?
Yeah, it was the worst acting I've ever seen.
Yeah, you
in
made
a
comment
movie.
That Ricky was the worst actor ever.
That I've ever seen is what I said.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think her performance in that movie was...
And I forgot to say this. Tell me if you thought of this. When Theo James got out of the car and was yelling for Ricky and he put his hands up to his mouth and yelled, Ricky! Did you think Boys in the Hood?
No.
I did.
But that's... That's pretty good.
It really wasn't a joke. I'm glad it came off funny.
Funny, Chris.
But I really, as soon as he did it, I thought, Boys in the Hood.
I would have thought of that too.
It was both movies were bad. I thought the other one was better. The newer one was a little better. But I still say don't waste your time.
Yeah, I think skip both these movies.
Yeah. All right. Castle Rock. Hulu starring people you've seen in a bunch of stuff, but names aren't really that don't really matter, except for the youngest Skarsgård is in it, the guy who played Pennywise in it. What's his name? Bill Skarsgård.
Oh, he's the prisoner.
Yeah.
I saw the name, and I didn't know who he was in the show.
Well, you saw the show, right?
Yes.
Oh, so you don't know who he is.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so like when I was watching the show, I saw his name at the beginning. I was like, oh, Skarsgård.
He hasn't been in a whole lot of things, but like I said, most famously, he was Pennywise in the new It movie, The Clown.
What about the warden, Ann Cusack? Is that one of the Cusacks?
I have no idea.
She kind of looks like one of the Cusacks.
Oh, did you watch
this? She's obviously...
Yeah, I watched them all.
Oh.
She's obviously one of the Cusacks because that's her last name, but I don't know if she's one of...
When you say the Cusacks, we know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah. She was in Gross Point Blank, so I bet you she is.
Maybe.
Chris is trying to start another dire Germany scenario with the Cusack thing.
Just want to be clear.
He does semantics with himself. Jesus Christ.
Next level semantics.
I argue semantics against myself.
Where's the trivia? I'm always on my phone on IMDb.
Oh, I have no idea.
No, I don't know.
Sissy Spacek isn't it? A bunch of people.
Yeah.
Like older actors.
Yeah, the bald guy, the dad from Major Dad. And he was the warden.
Oh, no, that's not him. That's the dude from Lost.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, John Locke.
John Locke. That's, yeah, okay.
He was also the miner's dad that Luke Wilson slept with in Old School.
Nah, I don't remember. Oh, yeah. Okay, I remember.
Remember he slept with the miner?
Yeah, the high school girl. Yeah.
And wasn't it his boss?
Yes.
Maybe, yeah.
I think so.
So what'd you guys think?
I liked it. It started off like in the first episode, like jumping right into like, this is really cool. Like, what's his name from Shameless? Finding
Mickey.
Mickey from Shameless finding Bill Skarsgård in the
prison.
In the prison, like in hidden away and stuff like that. And then they start to put pieces together. And I don't know. It started off really good, and then I think the second episode and like 90% of the third episode, because what they're doing, I believe they're releasing 3 episodes a week for a month.
Is that how it goes?
I think so. Don't quote me on that. I think that's how they're doing it, because I looked at the release schedule, and then all the next episodes are all released in August, I think. So,
Scott Glenn, I don't think we mentioned him, did we?
Oh, yeah, Stick.
Yeah.
Ed Harris played that guy. The character he's playing played him in Needful Things. And another famous actor played that same sheriff in another Stephen King movie. Like a lot of the things Stephen King writes ties into
each
other.
Dude, there's a ton of stuff referenced in
here. The prison is Shawshank, like from Shawshank Redemption, same prison.
And, they reference Cujo at one point, Needful Things. All kinds of other shit, there was an article that said they all float or something.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
The reporter woman is the cute redhead that keeps, like, giving people information when it's not needed.
Yeah.
Like, at the bar. Mm-hmm. That's from The Shining. The wife, same wife's name. Or at least something like that. Same last name.
Really?
Torrance. Something Torrance, I think.
Jack Torrance?
Like, whatever the wife's name is, I think.
Well, Jack Torrance was the main character from The Shining with Jack Nicholson.
With a wife, whatever her name was. I don't know. I don't want to get caught up in that stuff. Sorry. But, yeah, there's a bunch of Easter eggs in there.
Yeah.
But, Chris, did you like it?
Yeah, I like it. I'm sticking with it so far.
For sure.
I'm very interested. I started to think that Bill Skarsgård character, the Shawshank prisoner, that he looks like a young Andy Dufresne. I know it's not that. It can't be. But did kind of look like if that was like a twist they wanted to go to, something weird like that.
Well, I read an article about something about all the Easter eggs, and they said that character is something from The Stand, and they've references as the kid, but I don't know. I didn't read The Stand, and I don't remember it. I watched
I want to say the other movie that I couldn't think of where another actor played that sheriff's character was The Stand.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. So I've, what's Stick's name in this movie or this TV show? It's Sheriff something.
Alan Pangborn.
Yeah, Alan Pangborn.
Could he have been Pet Sematary?
Maybe. I don't know. We could find out and put it up on the Facebook page.
Well, I actually asked somebody today, how many episodes into a show? Because the other show that's well known, like they really promoted this one on the heels of Handmaid's Tale ending.
Okay.
So they promoted the hell out of this. And I remember being hooked almost immediately with Handmaid's Tale. And this is three episodes in. And you guys give shows a lot more chances, but I'm kind of on the verge of, I need something in the next two episodes or I'm out.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't hate it. There's a lot of really good actors. I like the
main actor. Was on The Nick. I really like that guy, the black dude. I can't think of his name, but he was the main character on the TV show The Nick, which was on Cinemax. It got canceled after, I think, one or two seasons, which is unfortunate because the show was fantastic. It was Clive Owen. It was a Steven Soderbergh television show. But he was the main character.
Oh, yeah. He was the first black surgeon.
Yes. I remember that. Yes, he was.
Yeah.
And it was, like I said, it was really good.
Vince, you ever see anything called The Dark Half?
I don't think so.
Or read anything? Because he was in a Stephen King novel called The Dark Half.
Who's that?
Alan Pangborn.
Okay.
I'm trying to find. Don't let me stop you from talking.
But I think so far so good. It's really creepy. I think that Bill Skarsgård, like, he's got the creepy eyes. Like, he's got the serial killer eye thing going on. And I think it's probably how he got the part for Pennywise, because I don't think they did much to his actual eyes in there when he's, like, in the clown face. But I don't know. I dig it.
Yeah.
It's good. Did you watch the new trailer for Venom?
I didn't.
Anyone? Chris, did you watch
it? No, I have not seen it. I heard it was much more violent.
Yeah, it's a lot more Venom.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's better than that first trailer, because I didn't like that first trailer. I thought it was like cheesy, and I was worried about the whole him being Venom. And I love Tom Hardy, but I got my limitations with that. Did you guys like that first trailer?
Yeah, I did. I mean, yeah. It was okay.
I don't know if I have super high expectations for this.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
Well, they now the universes are merged now. What are they gonna do?
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they're.
With the Fox merger?
Yeah.
Fox and Disney was the latest one, right?
MCU and Fox.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if that includes, like, I know Disney owns MCU, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess it would be Disney but specifically MCU, all the, like, they want X-Men, they want Venom, they want Fantastic Four, which Killmonger, it was Johnny Storm in the new Fantastic Four movie, so they'd have to recast him, and I don't know. And then you have Deadpool is now MCU, but so you have Josh Brolin playing Thanos and Cable. So, I don't know. It is what it is.
So Castle Rock, through the first three, I'm interested. I'm going to keep watching for now. Nothing really has happened yet.
No, they're alluding that he's something otherworldly.
Bill
Skarsgård.
Yeah, kind of like some type of demon almost.
Yeah.
That's unleashed on the town that's causing all this bad stuff that we've read and seen
bad
in Stephen
juju.
King stuff.
Bad juju. Oh, Michael Rooker played Sheriff Alan Pangborn in The Dark Half, Ed Harris in Needful Things, and now Scott Glenn in this program.
So there was a movie or TV show called The Dark Half?
Yeah, Michael Rooker played the Alan Pangborn.
Was it a movie? Do you know?
I don't know.
I'm going to give the wrong information, so anybody listening. But I think it was a movie, and I think the story is about this writer that, like, wrote stuff, but real bad things were happening to him, so he was, like, the Dark Half. Like,
oh, okay.
Everything he was writing about was kind of real.
Kind of main, like, character was Timothy Hutton.
Yes. And had Amy Madigan. Because I remember the trailer when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Oh,
like,
it's directed by my grandpa, George A. Romero.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's got a pretty star-studded cast. Amy Madigan. I always love her from Uncle Buck. At some point, I want to hear the pitter-patter of little feet. I can get you a couple of mice and a piece of sheet metal.
Hey, you want to talk about Colony real quick? Since that wrapped up, had the season finale?
Yeah.
Because that's one I don't think we've ever talked about on this podcast.
Maybe. I don't remember a specific time.
Well, just to let you guys know, we do watch the show Colony.
Yeah.
It's really
starring Sawyer.
Yeah.
And Laurie.
What the hell is his name? Josh Holloway.
Holloway, yep.
And Laurie, which is Katie's something.
Sarah Ann Calloway's?
Sarah.
I didn't know if you were
Sarah Wayne. Sarah
Wayne.
Her name's
Katie.
Calloway's.
Her name's Kara or Katie in the show.
Okay, that's why I said Katie.
Yeah, Sarah Wayne Callies.
Yeah, no. That's her real name.
No.
Okay.
I'm like, what are you going for here? And
I was trying to think.
Yeah. In pretty much, what's his name? Taub from House?
Yeah.
Peter Jacobson?
Mm-hmm.
And also new to this season,
Wayne Brady.
My homegirl, Peyton List.
I thought you were going to say Wayne Brady. Who's Peyton List?
Peyton List is the doctor. That has only been in this season.
The one that's with the black dude. What's the black dude's name?
Shepherd keeps one of them. It's not Shepherd.
I don't know.
Anyway, okay, it's about an alien invasion. It's on USA. It had two really solid seasons in the first season and second season. This season was just okay, and then it picked up. And then I feel like the season finale kind of let down. I don't know. You?
I thought the only time it picked up was the time they were in that camp with the dude that looked like John Locke almost from Lost.
Yeah, I like that guy. Broussard.
Broussard is the black dude.
Yeah.
And that's who you meant, the doctor that's with him. Okay.
Yeah, Peyton List.
Yeah.
Okay, a couple weeks ago, and here's a question, if you might not remember it. A couple weeks ago, we talked about a TV show. And I'm going to have to look up the girl. I'm going to have to look up Peyton List to find out, because I've been trying to think about it. But I want to see if you remember, because I don't. Peyton List took the place of someone on another show that we watch. And we were like, you said you liked the other one better. And I said, I like Peyton List because
I don't know what show that was.
Well, I probably know the show.
You're going to know it as soon as I say
it. Yeah. What is it?
Gotham.
Who did you take the place of?
Ivy.
Right.
You just hit yourself right in the mouth with the mic.
Well, yeah, it hurt really bad with the inch of foam on it. But yeah, yes.
I thought you might have hurt your arm more.
Yeah, I even realized. But yeah, she did. She took the place of Ivy.
Yes.
Yeah. And I knew it was something that I should know. I just couldn't remember.
And now that you brought that up, I was trying to think, I don't know what I've seen that girl from.
Yeah,
but obviously I've seen her as Ivy.
See, and I remember thinking she was a babe back in when she was on Mad Men, which I know you didn't watch all of. Especially, I don't think that you watched when she was on, because she was in
the
later
first season.
She was in a couple of. She was one of his mistresses in the later seasons.
Most boring show ever.
It is. It's really boring. And what's funny is that I know a guy that thinks it's like one of the greatest shows ever made, but thinks Game of Thrones is boring.
I was just gonna say, I was gonna throw that part in there.
Yeah,
because I know that guy too.
It's weird. Like, let me get lung cancer from watching a TV show, but yeah.
So Colony's a pretty good show. I know a couple people that absolutely love the show. I think it's...
It does have a big fandom.
I don't think we've seen enough of the aliens. I want more alien stuff in this. Falling Skies did. Falling Skies was good with the aliens.
What about the alien that you see, like the blurry alien at the end of the hallway that was making all the people just pass out?
Yeah, and...
She looked hot.
I didn't even realize it was a girl.
No, she was like 7 feet tall, had blonde hair, and was like blurry. Yeah. I like them blurry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't really.
Look kind of like a predator at first. Just because of the stealth camo.
Yeah, it was scary. Yeah, she had the light bending technology. Yeah, but I'll watch next year.
Oh,
see where
so
it goes.
Will I. I'm just
like,
I just want more alien stuff with this show. I want kind of like your complaint with a show with Handmaid's Tale about how we got here to this world. You're not seeing enough backstory with that.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing enough alien stuff with Colony.
Yeah. Same, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think anytime you watch a show and you can still appreciate the show, but want something different than what they're giving you in small pieces. Like with me, Handmaid's Tale, how they got there. With you, aliens. Some people might watch Game of Thrones and want more They might want a battle scene in every episode. You know, just things like that. Like, I would like to have Vince Gilligan never do an episode about a fly in Breaking Bad.
I would like Stratton to have recorded this so I could watch you bash yourself in the face with the mic.
Yeah. I lifted my arm.
That would have been good. All right, so Colony, good show. Worth watching. If you're out of stuff to watch, go back and watch some Colony.
We got a lot of time here. We're doing pretty good on time. So I want to, real quick, new Netflix show. Actually, not a new show. It's a season two just released. It's a show. It's like a 6-part documentary series that I watched called Roman Empire. Season one was all about Commodus, who was the guy that Joaquin Phoenix played in Gladiator.
Yeah, there you go.
And it's narrated by Sean Bean. It's performed like you're watching actors act stuff out. And while experts and like present you facts about how things happened, and then it's really brutal. It's like it's super high quality, like so it's like something you would watch on like a History Channel, but a lot better quality. And they just released this season two, which is all about Julius Caesar and his rise. And the reason I wanted to talk to you about it is because I think you should watch season two, because at least the first episode, because it's all about how Julius Caesar took down Spartacus with Gaius or with Marcus Crassus. And it was really cool. Yeah. I have like one episode left, I think, but it's really good. It's like I said, it's a really good show. It's like a History Channel show on steroids, and I like that when they talk about the stuff, they present facts and stuff like that, and they talk about how they know what they know, which is, I always think, important. Like, and because when you have a guy who's like the professor of Roman history at the University of Chicago, like, he'll say how we know this and stuff like that, and they often talk about how the Romans were the greatest written record keepers in history.
You know, you said it's like a History Channel show on steroids.
Yeah.
How come we always use steroids to make things better? And we talk about how,
like, it's a mosquito on steroids.
Right, or this is our SUV on steroids, yeah, or all that. We promote stuff like that.
Enhanced.
Yeah.
Enhanced.
Then how come steroids are so bad? Don't we want to see our baseball players on steroids? I want to watch super athletes.
Yeah.
What do you think?
You hear it first. Chris is pro steroids.
He's always been.
I want to see every NFL player taking steroids. It's entertainment.
It's entertainment.
I want to see super athletes.
Do you really want my opinion on this? Are you asking me?
Yeah.
I feel like
you really want to know.
Well, because then you get to the point where you're not. It's more of who is taking the best performance enhancement drug. Not it. Okay, so if everybody's really good. And they're all taking the exact same drug, and that would be okay. But it's not. It's going to be the first one to take the newest, bestest, you heard that here first, bestest drug is going to hit, you know, the 80, 90 home runs in a year or whatever. And
wasn't Bonds close to 80? 70,
it's 77, right? It was ridiculous, but yeah. but he was juiced up, and I don't care what anybody says, that motherfucker was juiced up.
Well, of course he was.
But my point is...
But it doesn't help you. Steroids will never help you square a round bat onto a round baseball.
Dude, and you know, I used to tell people this all the time, I go, if you ever watch Barry Bonds swing the bat, Barry Bonds had the fastest, like him and Ken Griffey Jr. Now, Ken Griffey Jr., there's never been any, like no one's ever... Never legitimately heard anybody present an argument for him using PEDs. But him, I always say that Barry Bonds and Ken Griffey Jr. had probably the fastest swing I've ever seen a baseball player have. And from watching sports science, we know that the distance the ball travels, like 80% of how far a ball travels, is bat speed. And when you watch that bat come around, like if you blink your eye, the bat has already crossed the plate. Like, that's how fast Barry Bonds would swing the bat.
Talking about sports science, they were talking about, like, a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. That a baseball player doesn't have time to see that ball and say, this is a strike, I'm going to swing at it.
Yes.
Their brains are actually judging on arm motion, on whether they're going to swing. That's the information that their brain is processing. With the amount of time you have to swing the bat, if you wait to see the baseball, it's too late. Yes. You're actually judging it off the arm motion.
Yeah.
Rather than the actual baseball, which is unbelievable.
That's why, like you see, I watched a Pittsburgh Pirate, swing a bat at a ball that he had no business swinging it at. And like in your head, like, you know, the guy who's not a professional baseball player, go, why would you swing at that? But in reality, he just couldn't stop himself from swinging at a ball that he was going to swing at until he decided not to halfway through the swing.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds complicated, but it's how
it's really not, because it's a commonly taught technique where you're batting and you're telling yourself yes, yes, go, or yes, yes, no.
Yeah.
You can't get up there and not be thinking you're going to swing at a pitch. You're either thinking yes, yes, I'm swinging and then go, or yes, yes, no, I'm not.
It's why check swings are a thing.
Yes.
Yeah, because you're swinging regardless until you're starting your swing and then going, nope.
When I'm coaching the girls' softball team and stuff, I tell girls, we're swinging until we're not. And that's what I mean.
Yeah, you're not going to be a statue. You're going to go through your motions. You're going to lift your leg up. If you lift your leg up, you're going to move your shoulders down. And if you do that, like, until you decide.
You know, we should transition this right into like an all baseball movie episode, but that'll be for another time.
Yeah, we could do baseball movies one day.
We should. There's enough of them.
Sure. Yeah.
Wild Thing. Weren't you Wild Thing one year for Halloween?
Yes, I was.
Yeah,
I remember
that. Yeah. All right. Trying to think. Did you watch anything else this week you want to talk about? Other than Mission Impossible, obviously, and the homework and revisit. But did you watch anything else?
No, nothing that stands out.
Okay.
It's a slow time right now.
It is.
I watched the Comedy Central roast of Bruce Willis.
I watched all of Orange is the New Black, but you said you wanted to watch.
Yes,
so we'll talk about that.
I am getting into that. My daughter started watching Gotham from episode one, so I've seen.
Good. Yeah. The 100, dude. It took a dark, 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 dark path. Like they brought cannibalism into it.
And awesome.
I didn't see it coming, but then after it happened, like, 'cause they were stuck in a bunker for 5 years. And
with what food source?
They had all plant source, and then and they were using certain produce for protein. And then something happens that you don't know about until they get out. They got out of this bunker, and you know that horrible stuff happened inside the bunker, but we think we know all the horrible stuff that's happened, because they used to do, like, when you commit a crime. Okay, so basically there was a food shortage, and to get rid of people, if you committed a crime, you had to fight in a gladiatory arena, and then you died. Well, now we found out that the person that died
became the food?
Yes, became the food. And everybody knew they were eating it, but when I don't know, that's what happened in the last episode. I'm really excited to follow that. I know you thought that show was for children, and I'm telling you.
I said it seemed a little too PG-13 for me.
It is
well,
not.
It didn't seem that way. I watched most of the first season, and I just kind of felt that, and I quit.
It does get really
Speaking of cannibalism, Threaten, you ever watch American Dad? You watch a lot of that?
Yeah.
Do you ever see the one when they were on Jimmy Buffett's Most Dangerous Game?
No.
On the island when they started getting hunted, and they ran into a cave, and the cave collapsed, and they had a girl that worked on the cruise ship with them, and she ended up dying, and they were all starving. So they're arguing whether they should eat her or not, and Stan's arguing against it. And he says, this girl had a family. And he pulls out her driver's license. This was her name. She's from this place. She was an organ donor. And then they eat her, and then finally the other people come in, and they're like, wait, you people thought this was real? This is Jimmy Buffett's Most Dangerous Game adventure.
After they ate her?
Yeah. Oh, jeez. One of the best half-hour sitcoms I've ever seen about cannibalism.
More than Last Man on Earth with Fred Armisen?
It was better than that one.
Okay.
It was funny. Oh. Did you see that episode?
Family Guy American or American Dad? No, yeah. I haven't. No.
You never saw that one? Oh.
No, but I have seen. There's been cannibalism in Rick and Morty. Really? Enough to go around. Yeah. All right. So now we recapped everything from the week except drum roll.
Dun 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 dun.
Pretty good. Dun 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 dun.
No.
Yeah.
You should play the Limp Bizkit one.
No. Yeah.
Dun dun.
No.
You should play the Limp Bizkit one. Said no one ever.
when I saw this movie today, my son asked me if the show took place in like the year 2025. This movie took
the movie?
Place. Yeah. Huh. I said no. It's supposed to be current. I think it is, isn't it?
Yeah, probably. Give or take a couple years. Yeah, I don't think that it.
Really, the only.
The face making.
That's the only futuristic stuff that happens in the movie. But that was also in the old TV show, wasn't it?
Right. Yeah. That's why they kept it going.
Yeah. So
we do have the technology, just not that fast.
Oh, I don't know about that.
You don't think we have 3D printing?
No. I'm talking about to print out a mask and wear it like that and look that real.
I think the voice changing technology is probably the more advanced.
Yeah, that probably is.
That's probably the more advanced technology than the mask making. We could make masks to make somebody look like somebody else.
Oh, I don't know. I've never seen it.
You ever see when Bryan Cranston went to the San Diego Comic Con dressed as he wore the mask of himself? Like he wore the, what do you call it? His character from Breaking Bad. He wore the Walter mask, White. Walter White mask, and it looked good, but it was a mask. Like he looked like him, and then he went to the panel and peeled his own face off, and it was him. You guys have never seen that?
Like, did people know it was a mask? And then when he peeled it off,
they knew it was a mask. Like, and then it looked real.
So when he peeled it off, they were like, "Oh, it's really Bryan Cranston."
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. Well, Andrew Garfield wore the Spider-Man costume at Comic-Con.
That's pretty funny.
Did you see what's his name? Mark Hamill's costumes for Comic-Con?
It was an orange stormtrooper mask with the Trump hair.
He did the orange Vader.
Or Orange Vader, not Stormtrooper. Yeah,
Orange Vader, and then he just did a normal Stormtrooper, and
no, I didn't
he was
see
like
that.
He was taking pictures with people, and nobody knew it was Mark Hamill until afterwards, and people were like, then looking at their photos and realizing, holy shit, I snapped a selfie with Mark Hamill, and they didn't even know it until afterwards, which was pretty cool.
The Rock and Jimmy Fallon did something similar where people were taking pictures, like family pictures, at Disney World. And The Rock and Jimmy Fallon would go out and photobomb, and then they'd leave. And then they'd get a hand in the picture, and The Rock and Jimmy Fallon were in the picture, and they were like, what the hell? And then they'd come out and surprise them. But see, I think it would have been better if they never came out. Like they just ended up in the picture, like Mark Hamill did. And then they'd get home, and they'd have a picture with The Rock and Jimmy Fallon behind their family picture at Disney World.
I did see a picture on Facebook once of somebody taking a selfie with like James Franco or something, and Bryan Cranston was standing in the background just like giving this shitty look towards him. And the person posted it online like thanking the old man that ruined their selfie. Didn't realize who it was. All right, Mission Impossible.
Tom Cruise, Rebecca Ferguson, Ving Rhames. No, it's not Ving Rhames. Yeah, it is Ving Rhames. Ving Rhames. I was thinking Charles S. Dutton. Yeah. Ving Rhames, Simon Pegg, Michelle Monaghan, and Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
Oh, and Angela Bassett's fine ass.
Yep.
Oh, and Henry Cavill. Hey, do you want to...
Why are you saying Cavill?
Just because.
Oh, I didn't know if like
he says Cavill.
Does he? Okay, that's what I was asking.
But that's because he's British.
Yeah, he does.
It's Cavill, but it says Henry Cavill. That's just it with a British accent.
Yeah, I say Cavill.
It is Cavill, like, but he says Cavill because he's British. That's it. It's like,
you know what I realized from this movie? Ving Rhames is a large, large man.
Yeah.
How big has that guy gotten?
When he was standing next to Henry Cavill, who is also a large man, and Ving Rhames just dwarfs him. You're just like, what the fuck?
Do you think Ving Rhames weighs every bit of 400 pounds?
I was thinking 350, 400.
I think he's topping 400.
Can we call this episode Tree Fitty?
We call it whatever you want.
Thanks, buddy.
Ving Rhames is huge. You hear about somebody calling the cops on him?
I did. In his own house.
Yeah. Big black guy breaking into my neighbor's house. It was his house. It's like, first of all, you don't know you live next to Ving Rhames?
California weirdos.
Oh,
if he lives in Kelly, I don't know.
Hey, probably. Hey, you got another beer, right? Did you bring that
I did.
One with the weird name?
Sweet Baby Jesus?
Yeah. you want to sip on that? Or? All right, well, you talk about what you thought about the Mission Impossible Fallout movie.
This was run-of-the-mill Mission Impossible movie, I thought. None of these movies have ever blown me away. I've never thought one was bad, but I've never been over the moon about one, and kind of same thing with this one. It's just an action movie. Keep you entertained. It's long as fuck.
This movie was 2 hours and 27 minutes long. This is a long movie. Yeah. And I'm completely on board with what Chris just said. It's no better, no worse than all the other Mission Impossible movies. I think it was good. It entertained me. Like I told Chris earlier on the phone when we were talking about it, it pushes ridiculousness, like the silliness of like the action stuff, but it never gets to that Fast and the Furious level of stupid.
For me, it's the superhuman strength stuff. It's not the
dudes punching through walls,
yeah,
or throwing people through pillars.
And then like the dude in the bathroom who we thought was John Lark,
yeah,
grabs the plumbing at the bottom of the sink and just rips it off the wall. Just ridiculous. And he wasn't even a strong guy. He wasn't even big. Surviving that helicopter stuff was a bit ridiculous. Do you need me to do that for you?
This bottle cap opener sucks.
Yeah, I know it does.
Popping off. Do you have a lighter?
I can still do it.
You have a lighter?
Yeah, but I don't want you to break my lighter. And plus, it's way over there. Just give me that thing. Let me do it.
All right.
You talk about what you thought of this movie.
Okay. Sretton has the worst bottle opener in history. It's the bottle opener is rounded.
You got to do some more push-ups, bro. Look at that.
I almost had it.
Okay, so he got it on his third try. Oh, nope. Fourth try.
Fourth try.
I tried three times and didn't.
You
Chris
loosened
got on
it
his
for
four.
Him.
Yeah, I loosened it.
I would have never got it had you not done that.
Yeah.
It's teamwork.
It is. So I agree that the helicopter scene was a little silly. Also, was it Ethan Hunt? Tom Cruise's character just has the ability to latch on to any object. Like he just,
dude, the hook at the end that kept catching on the rocks.
Yeah, he's kind of like that hook. He can't fall to his death if there's anything around because he can latch onto it.
It was really really
like,
funny
like
when he
Spider-Man.
Latched, it was really funny when he latched onto the elevator though.
And he rides up the top, and he's looking up at the guy, and the guy's just looking
hilarious.
Down at him, smiling.
That was hilarious.
Yeah.
It did have some funny moments when they open the garage door, and the cops standing there looking at him as they're all like sitting there with a dude with a bag over his head. There were some funny moments of this movie that were intentionally funny.
Yes, yeah. See, I laugh in unintentional spots in the Fast and the Furious movies. Like they're not supposed to be funny; they're just so fucking stupid that you laugh. Mm-hmm. In this. There's always a bit of comedy to it. And also, I shout out to Simon Pegg for being the computer guy that actually isn't afraid to throw a punch. Usually the computer...
He wasn't that good at it,
but he did it. Gets the shit beat out of him all the time. But he shoots guns, he throws punches, he can take a punch. Usually the computer guy in these movies doesn't do that. Like, they're weaklings. He's not. I'm drinking a Dewclaw Brewing... Sweet Baby Jesus. This beer is from Bodymore Murderland. Chocolate peanut butter porter. I haven't tried it yet.
It is a chocolate peanut butter porter. Did you say that?
I just said that,
God
yeah.
damn it.
And I said it was from...
I don't know. I'm reading other stuff and I don't listen to you. And
I just said it was from... I said it was from...
I heard you say where it was from.
Yeah, Bodymore Murderland.
They picked a very microphone-friendly name. Like the style? Peanut butter.
Yeah.
Peanut butter porter.
Yeah.
Peanut butter porter. Like that, what was a episode of Friends when Joey was working with Gary Oldman? Do you ever see
I remember
one?
It. I just don't remember the scene.
Gary Oldman taught him the secret to good delivery in his lines. You got to spit every time you talk. And every scene they do, they're both dripping in each other's spit because they're spitting on each other.
This is pretty good, by the way.
Yeah.
Sweet Baby Jesus.
Sweet Baby Jesus.
Oh, I pray to Sweet Baby Jesus. Yeah, it's good. So I wouldn't say run out and see this, but right now there's really nothing else out. So if you're looking to go out and see a cool action flick, and you've liked the other ones, if you haven't seen some of the other ones, like, you might be a little lost in some of the stuff that happens, because these are continuations.
It doesn't really matter. You could not have seen a single one and still be entertained by this movie.
Yes, I agree.
I mean, me and Vince were talking about.
This is part six,
yeah,
by the way.
This is part six. So there's been five before this, and I've seen four out of the five. Mm-hmm. There's one that I haven't
seen.
Rogue Nation.
One right before this.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can watch it, and you'll be able to follow along just fine.
Yeah. It's not like a TV show where you got to.
Yeah, you're not missing an episode of Handmaid's Tale or Breaking Bad.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you could skip that fly episode.
Yeah, that's the one episode of that you could skip.
I don't think you can skip any of Game of Thrones, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Last week, I gave you the best of the best. One of my, you know what? And a lot of that's nostalgia, because I remember it's what, like, I really got into, like, kung fu movies, even though it's not kung fu, a lot of it's different martial arts. But we just call them.
Why do you have to say that?
What?
That a lot of it's nostalgia. You just ruined, like, 100% of my conversation here.
But I just recently watched this movie, and it's still good. It's still good. It's still amazing. Anyway.
Did you cry at the end?
I did. Yeah, the ending scene, the last scene, of course.
Did you look like Eric Roberts' cry face? Do you remember his cry face?
But he's not a very good-looking man.
He's not.
His daughter's pretty righteous, though.
Is that Emma?
Emma, yeah,
Roberts,
that's his daughter. Yeah.
Which is the one from American Horror Story? Is that Emma?
Yeah,
Roberts?
she was in the Coven.
Yeah.
Okay, and, that's Emma Scream Roberts. Queens. She's the main character of Scream Queens.
Okay.
Yeah. That's Emma Roberts.
All right. I'm going to take a pull off this Sweet Baby Jesus real quick.
You're pulling on Sweet Baby.
Oh, my God. The smell of it. Smell this, Trenton. Take a pull if you want.
My entire face in this cup.
get some mustache hair in there, dude.
Nobody wants it.
Yeah.
And?
Let me think.
Tastes a little boozy.
It
smells boozy.
It's good, though. It smells more like peanut butter than it tastes.
Yeah. Unlike that mead that with a baseball bat. It both smells and tastes like peanut butter. Although the new one wasn't that peanut buttery.
Best of the best. Like I said, I think you are very nostalgic about this movie, because I don't know how good a movie it was.
Well, I think it's a great movie.
I think it's very Rocky IV, Karate Kid-ish.
But better than both.
Oh, I don't think it's better than Rocky IV. I don't think it's better than Karate Kid either.
I think they're all equal. Like, I don't know. I'm not going to say one is better than the others, but I think they're about equal. They're all just really good movies that tell really good stories, and you wanted character development.
I loved when Tommy.
Tommy was the main guy.
Tommy kicked the cigarette out of the dude's mouth in the bar.
That was good. Yeah,
that was awesome. Eric Roberts with the fanny pack and the long hair.
There were fanny packs, I believe, in the show you just maybe watched last week.
What was that?
The Greatest American Hero. Like,
no, I think that was before the invention of the fanny pack.
Yeah, might not have been fanny packs, but there was some.
There was definitely William Catt with a perm.
I think the guy from Detroit in Best of the Best had a perm, though, didn't he? Didn't he have the curly hair, like Jerry Curl, the white guy?
The guy from Detroit. Oh.
The guy who was from Detroit in the movie. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think he had a perm.
What about Chris Penn, dude? Big fat guy?
Yeah, the big fat
I love
cowboy.
When he ties with the Korean dude and they had to break the bricks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then
what
the hell are you counting them for?
That was hilarious. That was great. But one of my biggest problems in the movie was at the end. Okay, so I understand you don't want to kill the guy. He's standing there. You can kill him right now. Why not just tap him in the face, get one more point, and win?
I've always thought about that. You could have just lightly kicked the guy in the chest and knocked him down.
Yeah, right.
But it was more about he wasn't in his mind thinking like that. The whole time he's fighting this guy, he wants to kill him. And again, I mean, maybe you miss that with the character development shit. I don't know.
James Earl Jones was like way over the top with some of the dialogue in this movie.
Yeah.
When he's talking about the uniforms, he's like, "You won't get to wear these uniforms to become part of a team.
You will be part of the team." I've never done a James Earl Jones before. I feel like I kind of nailed that one. "You will be part of my team."
You didn't carry on team long enough.
Mm-hmm. And then the one chick's like trying to introduce like meditation to them. And then it was hard. I don't know. I fucking love this movie. I thought you would like it. It sucks he didn't. But
No. I didn't dislike it because even though I hadn't seen it and I wasn't nostalgic for that movie, I was nostalgic for that type of movie. So I really enjoyed it. I mean, it brought me back to
montages.
What is it? Jesus Christ, I can't think of the name of it. The American Ninja.
Yeah.
Those types of movies. I mean, I put it in that class. The American Ninja wasn't a big blockbuster. Was The Best of the Best a big blockbuster?
No.
Okay.
No.
I hope not, because it shouldn't have been. But it is great when you put it in those class of movies.
Tommy, no. No, Tommy. No,
Coach,
Tommy.
He's got to kill him.
Yeah, that's it. You had to look at the time. I mean, you know, like it's 80s shit, but I thought that this was one of the better 80s movies that had, like, I don't know. I love this movie.
Listen,
I watch it every time it's on.
If my son were to watch this movie, he would think it was awful. But because I'm 40 years old and I watch this movie, for the first time, I really liked it. Even though I wasn't nostalgic towards that movie, I'm still nostalgic towards that generation of movies. So I think it holds up, though.
I think it holds up. I really do. Like, the story holds up.
Oh, the story absolutely holds up.
Yeah, I think a lot of the dialogue is kind of corny. But, yeah, I do remember, I was going to ask you about kicking the cigarette out of the guy's mouth in the
bar. Oh, that was great.
Yeah. And the whole bar scene I thought was really good.
Yeah. I did get really pissed about James Earl Jones being so shitty about Eric Roberts going to visit his son in the hospital, who is in a coma.
Yeah.
And might lose his leg.
That's just... I mean, Tommy had his drama, and then so Eric Roberts had to have his drama, and then Coach, it's my kid. You know, just
I would have liked to see him just roundhouse kick James Earl Jones in the head.
I'd like to see Tommy roundhouse kick him with that super kick.
Oh, the one where he knocked the one dude out. Wasn't
the
it?
Buddhist?
Okay, that wasn't the Detroit guy, was it?
No.
Okay.
It was the Buddhist, the Detroit guy, Chris Penn, Eric Roberts, and then Tommy.
Yeah.
And Tommy fought.
I did have a question, though.
Dehan?
they teamed up in rooms, like, where they were staying, in rooms of two. But there were five of them.
Yeah, somebody got their own room.
No. There were two guys in each room. I think maybe...
No, there was the assistant coach.
I think it was the assistant coach.
The assistant coach roomed with the Buddhist.
Yeah, because I remember at one point going, wait a minute. Who the hell was in that last scene with that guy?
Yeah, it was the assistant, like Tommy Lee Jones' second guy.
Yeah, I think it was.
And then
James Earl Jones roomed with the chick.
Did you think she was going to break them bricks?
That was pretty impressive. That was impressive. As Eric Robert said, he stood up, started clapping, saying, "Impressive," when she did it.
Yeah.
She was pretty good.
It was. That's Emma Roberts' mom. All right, what's my homework assignment?
Your homework assignment is something I have not seen.
Oh, is it another recommendation from good old Bri Bri?
Yes, it is, amongst other people, because this gets rave reviews from many, many people, and it's something I've been meaning to watch myself, so I figured I'd just give it to you so it forces me to watch it. The Shield, starring Michael Chiklis.
And Boyd Crowder.
Walton Goggins?
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm going to like it even more. So we're going to watch the first season of that and talk about it next week. I've never seen it. Vince has never seen it.
Nope.
Everybody knows what it's about, even you guys listening.
So. Nah, everybody, we're probably the last. We do a TV show and movie podcast, and we've never seen The Shield, and all of you guys probably have.
Yeah, that's Not good. You should probably edit that out.
Why?
Not good promotion.
Ah, they've already listened to us. It's too late. They can't take back the last hour. All right. Our homework assignment, or our revisit of the week, is going to be in theaters this week.
This came out in 1986.
Oh, that's why I was pulling it up right now. I got to use my phone because something happened to my laptop. Somebody came in. You got a 7.3 rating. Starring Kurt Russell, Kim Cattrall, and Dennis Dunn. Good movie. I love this movie.
I haven't seen this movie since like 1988.
It really holds up.
Oh, I'm sure it does.
I just watched it like maybe last year.
I'm going to the theater Sunday to see it.
Are you?
Yes.
Okay, maybe I'll go with you if you. No, I can't. I work. Oh, no, I don't. I'm off. I might be able to go with you. A rough and tumble trucker helps rescue his friend's fiance from an accident or an ancient sorcerer in a supernatural battle beneath Chinatown. This movie's action, adventure, kung fu, Big Trouble in Little China.
I love this movie.
It's really good.
You want to go Sunday?
Another movie that kind of brought me into like the kung fu film genre.
This one?
Yeah.
7.3 on IMDb.
It's John Carpenter.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
When you're done listening to the show, look up the music video that goes with this movie.
He
made a specific music video, and it is him singing because he does the music.
John Carpenter?
For the movie, yeah. And then he's got this whole like Big Trouble in Little China song. It is really weird. Super weird.
Is it weirder than Liam McIntyre eating Doritos?
Well, it's a different weird. It's him and his like dudes from the 80s.
That the silver shirt and the dance moves. Boom, 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 boom. I did wind up posting it on the Pricks on Place page.
I think
you
did.
All right, where are we at time wise?
Right in an hour.
Okay. Before we quote some stuff, I want to say thanks to all the people that shared our podcast this last week. This podcast reached the most people that any one of our previous episodes, the 40th episode, our last one, not this one you're listening to, obviously. It reached the most people that any one of our podcasts ever has, over 1,000 people. And
that's probably more than any podcast has ever reached.
On Earth.
Right.
I will not confirm or deny that. And I just, like I said, I appreciate everybody sharing it. I think I asked like one or two people, and then it just organically.
What do you mean you? We appreciate.
I'm not going to speak for you, dude.
You could definitely speak for me there. Okay. Say we appreciate it.
We appreciate it.
Because now I got to cut you off and clarify that I appreciate it too.
And I have to clarify that I also appreciate it.
You guys can just say, hey, me too. I co-sign that. Kind of like when you
There's
say,
already a hashtag me too.
Yeah, we don't want to confuse people. Mm-hmm.
This ain't that kind of podcast. Also, share us as much as you did this last week. Maybe get some of your friends to share us too. We think we're worth listening to. I'm Vincent Romero 82 on Twitter, and you can reach us at pricksonflicks@gmail.com. You want to call? I see it. You fucking point to it. He's Chris Barney 3 on Twitter. And Pricks on Flicks on Facebook at PRIXONFLIX. Thank you to everybody that shared stuff on our page this week. I know a lot of you put some more trailers and stuff up. Some of them looks good. I like the one that the chicks that robbed the bank or steal the money, the new one that Gillian Flynn's writing. I forget what it's called. Somebody posted
Sugar
that.
And Spice?
No. I forget what it's called. Sugar and Spice, what the fuck is that?
Did you ever see that movie? But the cheerleaders that robbed the bank?
No.
This was the first movie.
This is a serious movie with John Bernthal. And,
the first movie me and my my first wife, my current wife, went and saw of Chris and I went and saw Sugar and Spice for the first like date movie we ever went to. And I let her pick. And it was the last movie I ever let her pick we watch. It was awful.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Did you ever see Sugar and Spice?
Sugar and Spice?
I should give you that as a homework.
Okay, the movie I was talking about that somebody shared is called Widows. It stars Elizabeth Debicki, John Bernthal, Liam Neeson,
ooh, I like
Michelle
Elizabeth
Rodriguez,
Debicki.
Colin Farrell, Carrie Coon, Daniel Kaluuya, Garrett Dillahunt, Robert Duvall, Viola Davis.
Garrett Dillahunk?
I said Hunt.
I know. I was saying Garrett Dillahunk.
But I just named like 10 people.
We've had conversation about Garrett.
But I just named 10 people, and all of them are fairly decent-sized stars.
Yeah.
And this is written by Gillian Flynn, who I'm not really impressed with when it comes to sharp objects. I stopped watching.
I'm going to start. I'm going to kick that show off and try
and
it
this
out.
Is directed by Steve McQueen.
Okay.
Yeah. He's a good director.
Is he? I don't know.
Steve McQueen? He's directed a few things here and there. 12 Years a Slave, the movie Shame, Hunger. Yeah.
I didn't know he did. And, well, I've never heard of any of those other than
12 Years a Slave.
Right. Shame, and that was phenomenal.
Shame had Michael Fassbender in it. It was a weird movie about a sex addict.
I just remember he was an actor in Bullet.
Different Steve McQueen.
Oh, is it?
You're talking about the one that he thinks I'm talking about the actor that died in the fucking 70s.
He didn't die, did he?
Yeah, he did.
You think I'm talking about the
actor
who
the fuck
who
is Steve McQueen?
He is a young director.
He is a young African American director.
Same name?
Yes.
Yep.
I didn't know the guy from Bullet died.
Oh, sorry, bro.
You're talking about the guy from The Great Escape and the Rebel Without a Cause? That Steve McQueen?
Rebel Without a Cause. James Dean?
Oh, wait. No, Steve McQueen. Yeah, Steve McQueen was what? Papillon, right?
James Dean is in Rebel Without a Cause.
Yeah, I said Rebel Without a Cause, but I'm talking about the other one. Who was in...
Or maybe it was Marlon Brando in Rebel Without a Cause.
Wait a minute. No, Rebel Without a Cause was James Dean.
Okay. Yeah.
And I know he's dead. I didn't know Steve McQueen died.
I said Rebel Without a Cause, but I was thinking The Great Escape and Papillon and Bullet. And the Towering Inferno.
Hey, quit screaming.
Sorry. And the Towering Inferno. That's Steve McQueen.
Yeah, there I knew he was in Bullet.
There is a director with the exact same name.
Okay.
Named Steve McQueen.
Did the Steve McQueen in Bullet die? He really is dead? Yeah, or were you thinking of James Dean?
Died November 7th, 1980 at the age of 50.
Oh, okay. Because yeah. I knew James Dean died.
Yeah.
Because you brought him up.
Yeah, but yeah, Steve McQueen is definitely dead.
Oh, I didn't know. That's why I was surprised he directed anything. So
even if he didn't die, he would have been like 120 if he was still alive. Not true. He would have been like 90 something, I think.
I thought like 70 or 80. I was like, why I was so surprised.
He would actually be younger than our grandmother. Our grandmother was born in 29. He was born in 30.
Nice. Okay, so this new Steve McQueen,
who is not 90 years old.
Right. How old is he? You said he's a black director?
Mm-hmm.
Younger guy?
I don't know.
45?
12 Years a Slave was phenomenal.
1969.
So he's not young. He's almost 50.
Yeah, he's almost 50. He's
49.
Yeah.
Which is almost 50.
Yeah, well, he's a young African American. it's young.
That's not young. 49 is not young.
Younger than Clint Eastwood, famous director.
That's because he's knocking on death's door.
Why won't he just die?
Mean.
Oh, speaking of empty chairs and shit.
Voicemail lines. What's that number?
Yeah, I was waiting. It's 219. Leave us a call the voicemail. I'm sorry. You want to do that?
Nope.
Okay. 219-649-1071. All right. Thanks for listening. We are Pricks on Flicks, and we out.
No, we're not.
Oh, quotes.
What are you talking about? Jesus Christ. Sweet baby Jesus.
Oh, I forgot about quotes.
Really got distracted by the Steve McQueen thing.
Yeah, we did.
All right. My quote is kind of silly. So,
mine's
want me to go
really
first?
Silly. Yeah.
Well,
mine's really silly.
All right. If yours is more silly than mine, mine is from the roast of Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis talked and said this. He was talking to Lil Rel, who played the comic relief in the movie Get Out.
Okay.
And he said, Lil Rel, saw you in Get Out. Man, I love that movie. If you haven't seen it, it's about how black people are really rude house guests.
I'm not going to tell you what mine's from. Because I don't respect therapy. Because I'm a scientist. Because I invent, transform, create, and destroy for a living. And when I don't like something about the world, I change it. And I don't think going to some rented office in a strip mall to listen to an agent of averageness explain which words mean which feelings has ever helped anyone do anything. I expect it's helped a lot of people get comfortable and stop panicking, which is a state of mind we value in animals we eat, but not something I want for myself. I'm not a cow. I'm a pickle. When I feel like it. You know, just because you asked.
Sweet baby Jesus!